The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Any organization whose first priority is evangelization should never take a penny from the government.
The etiquette of contemporary postmodern America is that all persons should just stand beside one another and say, we're together in spite of all of our differences. But what that really implies is a relativity of truth.
The reason some Lutheran pastors and congregation no longer practice closed communion is because they simply are no longer willing to insist on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper in the Lutheran confessions.
Confessional Lutheran deadheads love issues, etc.
I will admit it, we are a little bit isolated here in the United States. We have our own news. We very seldom pay attention to how the rest of the world is paying attention to its news, how it's covering the same story. Sometimes we don't even have the same stories, to tell you the truth. We pretty much cover ourselves, and occasionally, if it's a big story, if it bleeds, we will hear about what's going on in another country. And it might shock us to see the difference in the coverage of big stories, like the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 21st of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. George Conger of GetReligion.org joins us to enlighten us a little bit on how that story of the Pope's resignation is being covered elsewhere, in particular in Great Britain. We'll also talk about media coverage of Christianity and yoga. A little bit later, the Church is remembering Matthias the Apostle this week. We will do so as well. Dr. Robert Sorensen, Associate Professor of Theology and Greek at Concordia University Chicago, will join us. Pastor Heath Curtis will keep us in church history as we talk about first century bishop and martyr Polycarp of Smyrna, and then we'll round everything off talking about two Islam stories with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. We'll talk about the failure to pass a law banning violence against women in Afghanistan. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. George Conger is a regular guest. He's formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
How might we be shocked to read the British coverage of the Pope's resignation? He's getting a lot of very favorable press here in the U.S., and mostly his exodus from office is kind of a bon voyage.
Well, the English coverage is pretty nasty. We need to, though, to distinguish. There are professional religion reporters in the major newspapers and the networks, the BBC, the Times, Telegraph, the Guardian, and they have been writing news stories that are fairly accurate, fairly on the ball, fairly good. It's when we get outside of the religion reporter guild that when we have the Rome correspondent getting involved or commentators getting involved, we really get some bizarre things. What one example I thought that was particularly funny was that The Guardian had a newspaper article that concluded the Pope was resigning because he had lost his faith. Now, that has there's no evidence of that. There's no reason to think that. It's just that The Guardian concluded that because the Pope is infallible, and since he no longer wants to be Pope, he must figure out that he's not infallible, ergo he must have lost his Catholic beliefs. And that passes for news in The Guardian.
Doesn't a story like that just fail to do the basic work that a journalist ought to do in understanding what it means for a man to hold the office of Pope, the fact that this has actually occurred before in Catholic history?
Absolutely. The Guardian newspaper, I don't mean to pick upon the Guardian, but they had some of the more egregious examples. They don't set out to educate their readers what actually the Pope does. They begin on a presupposition that they assume that the Pope is somehow a God-king of some sort, and that there's no real sense of what his office is, what the Catholic Church understands him to be, that he is a servant to the Church, not the Lord High Master of the universe. And because they start with a faulty premise of who the Pope is, they then filter it through their preconceived notions. It's usually through politics, and at that left-wing politics.
What else have you found in particular within the Guardian's coverage that caused you concern as a journalist?
Well, there was an article in the Sunday edition of the Guardian, which is called The Observer. And their Rome correspondent had a long article about, now this is a news article, mind you, he had a long article about the resignation of the Pope, and he started off by comparing, he made some assertions. He said that the Catholic Church under Benedict and John Paul has become more conservative, and because of that, they've no longer let priests sleep with their housekeepers. And that has led to a rise in the number of homosexual clergy. And because of the great number of homosexual clergy, that means that the Catholic Church is unlikely to pick someone from South America or Africa where they're homophobic. And it goes on in that vein, and it's just one assertion, slanderous assertion after another, that all Catholic clergy are closeted homosexuals, that the African Church, this article in The Guardian says, doesn't like celibacy because blacks are naturally sexually active. Now, just understand, what has just been said there. Blacks are skin-deep Catholics who do not keep to priestly celibacy because as black Africans they're unable to. This is a mainstream newspaper saying something that I think from an American perspective is abhorrent.
How do you account for this? I mean, it can't simply be anti-Catholic bias. There's also some pretty shoddy journalism going on here, isn't there?
Well, don't underestimate the anti-Catholic bias that you see in British society. Now, there's the historical anti-Catholic bias of Catholicism being a foreign religion. And then in the early part of this century, the joke about the Catholic Church in England was that it was the Italian mission to the Irish, meaning they had Italian clergy taking care of the Irish immigrants to England. So there's a natural there's a history of anti-Catholic rhetoric. But in the modern day and age, the Catholic Church, more so than the Church of England, mind you, has stood foursquare against issues like abortion and gay marriage and stem cell embryonic research, issues that the liberal intelligentsia in England think are just wonderful and fine, the Catholic Church has been the most vocal opponent. And the high priests, the intelligentsia in England, are the journalists at The Guardian and the BBC. And when they sound off against the Catholic Church, you're really hearing what they think. They really do believe, first off, they cannot understand why someone would be a Christian. That's either an intellectual defect or a personality problem. And second, being a Catholic Christian is even more extraordinary. So there's yes, you can say there's a failure of basic journalism. There's a failure to write stories. There's a failure to be able to distinguish between opinion pieces and straight news journalism. But at the same time, that's all overlain on a deep well of prejudice.
Another story that you wanted to bring to our attention involves media coverage of Christianity and yoga. With just a few minutes here, George, what's the story and what are your journalistic concerns?
Well, there's a big story today out of California. The Encinitas School District in California is being sued by some parents because the school district has begun a yoga class in each grade with full-time yoga instructors. And these yoga instructors are being funded by a charity who is run by the founders of the Ashtanga School of Yoga. And the parents are very concerned that yoga is being introduced as a religious practice in a public school. And the school district says, oh, no, this is just exercise, and nothing here to see. The parents are just being conservative, cranky Christians. So there's this legal fight that's just the news story came out today. But there is, within the Christian world, there's a very sharp divide. We have a prominent American evangelical, such as Albert Mohler, from the Southern Baptist Seminary, who has said, you know, Christians really cannot practice yoga because it is a form of religious syncretism. When you adopt these Hindu poses and repeat these mantras about foreign gods, you're really opening yourself up, frankly, to the demonic. Whereas the Catholic Church has said, and the Roman Catholic bishop in Italy just made this point last week, that you can take out of yoga the breathing exercises, the body movements, and so long as you leave the theology aside, there's no problem. So the Christian world is fairly, well, divided between those who believe that you can separate Hinduism from yoga and those who say you really, it's a really dangerous thing to do. So my hope is that when we see the reporters going, you know, examining closely this lawsuit, it's a sort of a church versus state or yoga versus state situation in California, they examine the stark differences among Christian groups. Now, my denomination, the Episcopal Church, has some real wackos out there who believe that yoga, labyrinths, and things like that are just wonderful. There are other Episcopalians, such as myself, who think that's opening the door to false gods and paganism. So it's not a straightforward thing in most denominations, mainline denominations, but there is a divide within the Christian churches over whether or not yoga is problematic for a Christian believer.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time remembering the apostle who comes late to the party. Now, he doesn't do it because he's actually late. He comes late to the party because he is not chosen until Judas has exited the scene. And the church is remembering Matthias the apostle, who we hear very little of, but makes that significant replacement. And we have a detailed account of his call, of his election, if you will, in the book of Acts. The church remembers him this week, and we'll be remembering Matthias the Apostle on the other side of this break with Dr. Robert Sorensen. After that, we'll spend some time remembering another very early Christian figure who is rather significant, Polycarp of Smyrna, first century bishop and martyr, and Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. When we come back, Matthias the Apostle.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc. Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.